Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of Luke as we get going, chapter 15, beginning at verse 11. This is one of the many parables that Jesus told, and a number that he told in particular in Luke chapter 15. And he said, Jesus said, there was a man who had lost two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. The younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. But when he, the son, came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Most of us will remember the name of the daredevil stunt performer, Evel Knievel. You may remember even his failed jump with a motorcycle over the 1,700-foot-wide Snake River Canyon in Idaho that he attempted years ago. According to another stuntman who successfully made the jump years after Knievel tried it, Knievel failed only because his parachute opened too soon. But as you can imagine, he floated safely to the ground. But you'll have to go a long way to find someone in the history of sports who ever came off more abysmal failures better than he did. Millions of spectators were captivated by him through the years as he performed daring stunt after stunt. Some successful, some not. But they were there watching. But there's a truth in that Idaho Canyon jump by Evel Knievel, which all of us ought to capture and cultivate. It's much greater than the money that he walked off with, and far deeper than the canyon that he failed to leap across. There's a philosophy of life rooted in there, in a truth to pursue for our lives. Teddy Roosevelt shared it years earlier. It is far better, President Roosevelt said, to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, than to take rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy much nor suffer much, because they live in the gray twilight that knows neither victory nor defeat. Perfect. He hit it right on the head. But you and I know that when we dare mighty things, as he suggested, way too often, we fall short, we fail, we mess up, and end up at the bottom of a canyon. And the cumulative weight sometimes, an emotional effect of too many defeats, too many bad decisions or rejections in our life, causes us to want to just throw our hands in the air, to sit, to stop, to give in, to give up. No more daring mighty things. Accept things as they are. No more big dreams. A lot less risk we decide that we'll take. That's going to be our course from now on. So we just kind of hang out. Well, my friends, that's not what God created us for. We were created to be all we can be, the best we can be, to have an impact in the world and the lives around us. So then, where do we look to find the assurance and the confidence to dare to do mighty things again, to dream dreams even though some were dashed, and to jump Snake River Canyons, to be all we were created to be, to move on and overcome those gaping canyons and rising mountains looming always, it seems, before us, despite past failures, past disappointments and defeats that we experienced. Where do we look to find healing and hope again when we come up short? Where do we look to be healed and restored to wholeness with a renewed sense of who we are and with the courage to step out boldly again? You know, all the authors of all the self-help books published through the years call on us to pick ourselves up and move on. I've read them, you've read them. But there is only one author of one book, while encouraging us and calling us back from the bottom of the canyons we have crashed into, who can also restore us to wholeness, heal us, transform us, and lift us back to a higher level beyond our failures and into all the fullness of life that we were intended to live and to enjoy. And it is the one that's depicted in the story that we read some of earlier, the story of the prodigal son. Maybe it's more appropriate to call it the parable of the loving father, for it tells us more, it seems, about a father's love than it does a son's failures. You know the story. The younger son asked for his share of his father's property, which under Jewish law the father would give him, and the father did give him. He soon ran through his inheritance and found himself feeding pigs in a pig pen. The son had hit rock bottom. He was in the pig pen. But then the scripture says that in one translation, he came to his senses, or another translation like the one we read, he came to himself, came back to himself and decided to go home and plead to his father to be taken back. Through all of his failures and fearing rejection when he returned, there was still something inside him which caused him to pick himself up out of the pig pen and to turn back and begin the journey home. And out of that moment of total despair, with nowhere else to turn, he would soon experience hope for the rest of his life. He didn't feel worthy to be called a son, so his plan was to simply plead with his father to take him back as a hired servant, not a member of the family. If his father would just take him back as a hired hand, that would be great. That would be enough for him. But what happens as the son approaches home? The scripture says, but while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The father must have been watching for his son to come home. Had to be. For while he was a long way off, it says, he saw him and ran to him and found his son again. And he called for the best robe to put on him and a ring to be put on his finger and sandals on his feet. All of those symbols of honor, restoring that young man to the family as the father's son. Nice. Real nice. Great story. But how does God our Father respond to you and to me when we fail? Where do we find hope in the pig pens of our lives? Pig pens that we may have created. Pig pens that happened to us. And there we sit. Maybe we've never hit rock bottom. Maybe you haven't, like that son. Good. That's great. But maybe we have. And maybe we felt just like he did. Or it seemed like it at times. Or maybe we will. Maybe we lost a job. An investment that we thought was sure thing went bad. We throw in the interceptions. We strike out. We don't know which way to turn. A decision goes wrong. Or we don't know what to decide. Where do we find the direction and the hope then? Well, my friends, we find it in a God who treats us the same way that father treated his son in that passage of scripture we read. When we fail, when we are at the lowest points of our lives, restoration, transformation, and ultimately true success in our lives comes when we come to ourselves and turn toward home, back toward the Father again. And then if it happens again, and then if something happens again and again, back to being our best with him. And like that son, when we do, we are met by our God who runs to us, throws his arms around us, forgives us without judgment or lectures, and restores us to our rightful place as his child. Once again, we are found. God finds us. As you think back, can't you remember difficult moments where God got you through and you just weren't sure how it would happen? Wherever you eventually sensed his presence and peace in moments where you didn't expect it and all of a sudden there it was. That is the God we should want to know better. That is the Father from whom we can find the courage and the hope to overcome whatever we face in life. You know, there's an interesting and eternal last note, or one of the last notes written on the last pages of Evel Knievel's life. On April 1st, 2007, just months before his death, suffering from lung and liver disease, and with back pain from the traumas of his occupation, requiring a morphine drip implant for pain, he appeared on Robert Schuller on his Sunday morning televised worship service entitled The Hour of Power. And he announced while he was on that show with Dr. Schuller that he had just accepted and believed in Jesus as his Savior and Lord. You know, an interesting side note and a personal one for me, The Hour of Power was for me, despite other people saying that it seemed like success theology, but for me, each week, it was one of those three things and people that God used during the course of my life way back then to move me and eventually to a saving relationship that I made with Jesus Christ. At his request, there in that service, Dr. Schuller baptized Evel Knievel right there and then at the Crystal Cathedral, a baptismal moment which inspired mass baptisms for a period to follow at the Crystal Cathedral. In the midst of pain and suffering, and not sure what was next or what was left in his life, Evel Knievel turned and returned to God and was received in God's open, waiting arms. Our loving God does the same for us at any time, receiving, redeeming, and restoring us, and walking with us for the rest of our lives, here and on through eternity. And no matter where we find ourselves, no matter that we have fallen or failed, in him we become our best. In him we find our hope, and we are assured of our ultimate victory through that eternal relationship with him as his beloved child. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for these dear friends, and thank you for this reminder through the life of one that we remember, jumping canyons and cars and everything else he did. But for a life that turned, like that life of the prodigal son who turned back to you, Lord, help us not to wait, not to delay, but when we fall short, when we find ourselves in the pig pens, when things aren't going as we had hoped, to turn back to you. To turn to you when we're on the top of the mountain, to continue to turn to you wherever we find ourselves, so that you can help us become all that you created us to be, so that you will provide us with that eternal peace and courage and hope for the living of every day, so that we continue as you work through us and with us to become all that you created us to be, for you, for your glory, for your kingdom, and for those around us. Thanks for loving us, and thank you for your son. And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.